Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're locked into DFW's number one sports station, 105.3 The Fan. This is Sean and RJ, Hump Day Edition.
Okay.
Kevin Gray alongside RJ Choppy, Troy Hughes right here on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. Your headlines on a Wednesday. Nikola Jokic is your NBA's MVP for the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic yesterday getting the announcement from Adam Silver during practice. Denver Nuggets used the 41st pick in the NBA draft 7 years ago on Nikola Jokic, and he is your 2020-2021 NBA's MVP for the NBA this season.
I don't know who else it could have been. It had to be him. He was the top guy for a while. Now, I know maybe in the beginning of the year you could have said LeBron. In the very early goings of the NBA season, but no, it was Joker. Basically, since what, February, he was the guy that everyone was kind of finger pointing was going to be the most valuable player. And I mean, it would have been a stunner and a robbery, really, if it was anybody else. I guess my number two probably would have been for me, Chris Paul.
Okay, for me it was Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid does not get hurt, I think he's got a real shot of dethroning what was Nikola Jokic as the NBA's MVP. But for Jokic, they continue to ascend the Western Conference standings once Jamal Murray got hurt. So I think that was part of the reason why Nikola Jokic was able to snag the NBA's MVP.
And also, when you want to break down the votes really quick, the first place votes, the Joker, he got 91. He got 91 first place votes, which is a far, far, far first compared to second. Steph Curry got second. He had 5 first place votes. Chris Paul had 2. Giannis, Joel, they each had 1, as well as Derrick Rose.
Who he had got a first place vote?
But it was a fan vote. So I know a lot of people wanted to like track down the writer of, AnthonyMason.net to find out what Nick Ryder went after him. No, it was a fan vote. So Derrick Rose got 1 of those. So by the way, Luka, no first place votes, 1 second place vote.
Nikola Jokic is the 6th born player outside of the 50 states to win the NBA's MVP, joining Giannis from Greece, Hakeem Olajuwon from Nigeria, Steve Nash from South Africa, Tim Duncan from the Virgin Islands, and of course, Dirk Nowitzki from West Germany. Players born outside of the U.S. to win the NBA's MVP too. So congratulations to Nikola Jokic for winning this year's NBA MVP. 971 total points, 91 of the 101 first place votes for his MVP win. Rangers news. Chris Davis has been designated for assignment by the Texas Rangers. Eli White has been called up from AAA to join the Texas Rangers. So one half of that Elvis Andrews trade is now officially kaput, as Chris Davis is no longer with the Texas Rangers after being designated for assignment.
It was, they were taking a flyer. Both teams were taking the problem of the other. That's exactly what that was. And this is a cautionary tale for a Porzingis trade. This is the same thing. You would be getting rid of a bad contract and a player who has declined to take on another player on a bad contract who has declined. That's probably what you're going to get. You kind of got to look at this, right? The same. And one team might win and one team might lose, or they both might lose, or they both might win. It's a very, very random thing, but you're going to get a bad player. And the Rangers got a bad player. They were trying to get rid of their problem, and their problem was Elvis, because he was a progress stopper, quite frankly. And so was Chris Davis. They were getting another progress stopper. They didn't need Chris Davis. Chris Davis isn't any good to begin with.
Unfortunately, the Rangers go down in the first of their two-game series with the San Francisco Giants 9-4 yesterday. You can hear the second game of that two-game series on your home of Texas Rangers Baseball, 105.3 The Fan. Game starts at 12:30 on the Louisiana Hot Sauce Rangers radio network as they look to try to earn a split with the San Francisco Giants after falling 9-4 yesterday. But Chris Davis designated for assignment by the Texas Rangers. Meanwhile, Eli White back up with the big club for the Texas Rangers. NBA action from last night. The Utah Jazz get it done in game one of their second round series against the Los Angeles Clippers, 112-109. Donovan Mitchell got hot in the second half, going 11 of 16 from the field. He drops 45 points for the Utah Jazz. Meanwhile,
can I just say real quick?
Yeah.
The Jazz uniforms and court, such an upgrade over that absurd purple and teal from the 90s.
Oh, whoa, with the frosted mountaintops?
Yeah, such an upgrade over those hideous Karl Malone and that other white dude's team, John Stockton.
John Stockton, yeah, he's kind of a prominent player.
Such an upgrade. The desert coloring they have, and then the Utah within the middle with the basketball on it around it. Such an upgrade.
You like over the technicolor they got going on in Utah?
Big fan.
It's good. Not as good as the Suns. The Valley jerseys.
The Valley jerseys do go hard. They're sick. I do like those.
They're sick.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of those random Valley jerseys I hate the Warriors where they say Oakland. Like, you just left. Like, stop repping Oakland. You just left there. Can we put a stop to the baseball ones? We're doing Wrigleyville and Southside on the Chicago.
Now, hold on. The Southside one, I did like the Southside one. The Wrigleyville, I thought was a little cheesy.
It's very cheesy.
But the Southside one, I thought was okay. And that's difficult for me to say because I don't get down. I don't put on for Tony La Russa like that. But the Southside jersey, I thought was, I liked that
okay.
one.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Because you work at a radio station, not a bar. It's Tony La Russa joke
there. Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
He get it. He drinks a lot.
No. Again, part of the reason why I don't get down with Tony La Russa, but that's another conversation for another day. Kawhi Leonard, 23 points in the loss. Paul George, 4 of 17 for quote-unquote playoff P, as he went for 20 points. So the Utah Jazz get off to a good start in their series. The frustrating part about watching that game last night, Luka Doncic, right? If my man had gotten any kind of help in game number 7 against the Los Angeles Clippers, we would be talking about the Dallas Mavericks playing against the Clippers because the Utah Jazz supported their star and Donovan Mitchell in a big way, you know, last night, unlike, you know, how they didn't for, you know, Luka Doncic, but whatever. Other NBA action last night, Joel Embiid goes for a career playoff high 40 points in their win over the Atlanta Hawks to even up their series at a game apiece. Joel Embiid, who's dealing with a torn meniscus, had a massive night, going 13 of 25 from the field, 12 of 16 for the free throw line for those 40 points as the Atlanta Hawks and Philadelphia 76ers series shifts back to Atlanta.
What do the Hawks have to do for us to ask if the Hawks actually won that trade?
Win an NBA championship first?
Like, they've already won the playoff series, so I don't really count that because, you know, quite frankly, they were playing a bad team. Mavs played a better team than the Hawks did in the first round. But if the Hawks beat Philadelphia,
I mean, that's
and make the Eastern Finals.
Yeah, that's legitimate. But yeah, you'd have to win an NBA championship if you're the Atlanta Hawks to say that you won the trade because Luka Doncic is the better player of the two between Doncic and Trae Young.
Yes, he is.
But if they won an NBA championship before the Dallas Mavericks did, yeah, you could say that they won the trade just on that basis alone.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously they won the championship first, sure. But, Luke is going to be a better player. He's already a better player.
Yeah.
He's a better player now than Trae Young might ever be. But it wasn't just those two. It was them and picks.
Mm-hmm.
There was more to it than just that, and it's, you know, I mean, the Hawks are good right now, and they're probably not going to win this series. It wouldn't stun me if they forced it to 6 or 7 games, though. Seven games.
I can see the series going 7 games.
Yeah, I can see going 7.
By the way, former Dallas Maverick Shake Milton had a nice game last night. He had 14 points, was a plus 15, had the best plus minus of any Philadelphia 76er last night. So Shake Milton getting it done. Meanwhile, Joel Embiid, like I said, the 40 points. Seth Curry, another former Dallas Maverick, he had 21 points in the win. Also, Trae Young, 21 points on just 6 of 16 from the field for the Atlanta Hawks. Golf news, some very interesting golf news. So Ricky Fowler did not qualify for the U.S. Open after missing the tournament by just one stroke in his qualifier out in Ohio. So Ricky Fowler, who I didn't know needed to have an exemption or needed to qualify for the U.S. Open, he missed it by one stroke yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you have not everybody gets into these majors. Not everybody in the top 125 gets into these majors. Now, for the PGA, just about all the top 125 will get into it. But for the U.S. Open, it's like, you know, if you're not in the top 60 or so in the world, in the money and in the world rankings, you're going to have a tough time getting in. You know, it's obviously the higher you are, you know, below 60, the better. But if you're outside the top 100, I mean, it's not easy. You have to qualify for these things. And, you know, Ricky does not have any more exemptions. His exemptions for majors are basically up. Now, he missed the Masters because of this. He got into the PGA on a special exemption. The U.S. Open did not offer him a special exemption. Phil was in the same situation. If before he won the PGA, Phil was going to have to qualify for the U.S. Open because Phil's out of exemptions for that tournament he's ever won. You know, he's in the Masters for life. He's in the PGA for life. He's in the British Open. But he's not a former U.S. Open champ. And he doesn't have the exemptions of the tour. That's the problem Ricky Fowler's in. He's had a really bad stretch. He's out of the top, you know, 100 or whatever. And, you know, now he has to go and he has to go to these local qualifiers with Tony Romo.
And he fell one shot short after he had five holes to play on Tuesday morning in the rain delay qualifier in Brookside and the Lakes out there in Columbus, Ohio. He needed three birdies from over the back of the 18th green. His chip was about a full turn short before peeling away to the right. That left him one shot short of out of the five for four playoff for the remaining spots in the U.S. Open next week at Torrey Pines in San Diego. So he will not be in San Diego competing for a U.S. Open.
Yeah, and like, you know, I do think that they need to change their standards for these. Like the previous year's top-ranked amateur golfer in the world gets a exemption in the U.S. Open. Why? Why does the winner of the U.S. Senior Open get in? Well, he could be a 60. He's got no chance of winning this thing. You know, let a guy like Ricky or somebody. Why does the U.S. Junior Amateur winner get in? Why? The U.S. Junior Amateur is under 18 years old. Like, why do they get in? I don't know. It's just...
That's that whole USGA affiliation.
It family. Is. Yeah. It's 100% what it is. 100%.
Troy Hughes, some local baseball news college-wise and the college ranks going down.
This is major baseball news, especially for the Metroplex and for my Texas A&M Aggies. So longtime baseball coach Jim Schlossnig over at TCU. At the end of the baseball season, he was being asked about these whispers of him leaving TCU. He's like, nah, I'm sticking around. You know, he didn't change his stance. That is until the last 12 hours. Jim Schlossnagel is leaving TCU for Texas A&M. Jim, if you don't know anything about college baseball, the guy was a beast. I mean, he was there at TCU since 2004. You look at his coaching record and everything he did for TCU, five College World Series appearances, multiple conference championships. He is now going to Texas A&M, replacing Rob Childress. My A&M Aggies, they went to the College World Series in what? That was 2011, I think, 2011, 2017, or 2007, somewhere around there. They went twice, did not win the championship. At the same time, last season, last in the SEC. And that does not sit well for an SEC baseball school. So Jim Schlossnagel leaving Fort Worth, heading to College Station.
And that's he was perfect at TCU.
Yeah.
I don't know where they go. I mean, I get some texts from people. They may go the DBU route, get their head coach.
DBU is
they're a great program.
They are beasting right now. I do not appreciate what happened the other day during the game in which there was a grand slam. The kid admired it for about a second or two. Ump comes from behind home plate. Get to first!
Are you serious?
I'm like, yo, that is not your call there, Stripes.
Yeah, just stay away from Tony Vitello.
Yeah.
Okay, just stay away from him. That's the Tennessee coach.
Okay.
Stay away.
I guess so. But listen, the kid admired a grand slam. Let him admire it for a second or two. Yeah. You worry about trying to call a strike like the rest of the umps in baseball. And don't worry about a kid having a little fun.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Did Jay Williams dime out this personal conversation between himself and Kevin Durant? And while the NBA is trying to have the Nets take it easy on Giannis, we'll discuss that here in just a matter of moments here on Sean and RJ, a hump day edition on your Turn It On, Leave It On station on 105.3 The Fan. If you didn't know, which you may not have known if you were paying attention, last night was the 42nd annual Sports Emmys Awards last night. Is it a lifelong dream of yours to win an Emmy, Choppy?
Absolutely not. I have no desire to win an Emmy. I leave that to Mike Fisher. He can win all the ones that he wants. I'm out here trying to be an entertainer.
Well, maybe your entertainment could eventually land you an Emmy. Just to run down a few of the Sports Emmy Award winners from last night. Outstanding Sports Personality and Studio Analyst, Nate Burleson. CBS Sports and the NFL Network. Outstanding Sports Personality and Sports Event Analyst, John Smoltz from Fox and MLB Network.
He's so good.
He
is very good at what he does.
But how long before we turn on him the way we turn on Tim McCarver and Joe Morgan?
There you go. Like it.
Outstanding Sports Personality / Sports Reporter, Michelle Tafoya of NBC. Also...
Hang on. Don't just gloss over that. Gloss over that, Troy.
You're not feeling
yourself? You have the floor.
I don't know. I never listened intently Michelle Tafoya is on top of it all right now. I mean, give me Pam Oliver. I'll take Pam Oliver over.
I only pay attention to Michelle Tafoya, Pam Oliver when they're on the field. I don't know what they do when they're not on the field. Right. I don't necessarily, and maybe I'm just, this is totally off base, and I'm not trying to discredit what they do, but if you're just on the field and a coach comes up to you because he knows that you're, the sideline reporter, the trainer, and says, oh, this is what happened. I don't know that that's some crack reporting.
I mean, you got to get in-depth knowledge of what happened from the locker room, from the coaches, and get reports and interviews before and after games. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
There's not work that goes into it, but it's if Michelle Tafoya breaks some story on the sideline, well, you're literally the only reporter there. You're the only one to break it.
I mean, nobody
else has the access.
You're not being salacious right now by saying that. I mean, Sean was.
Princess, I don't respect nothing a woman say about football.
I mean, that was bad.
Wow.
He dropped that on us. Sean, what are you doing?
So Michelle Tafoya wins Outstanding Sports Personality and Sports Reporter. Outstanding Sports Personality and Emerging On-Air Talent, Emmanuel Acho from Fox and FS1. In fact, here is Emmanuel Acho thanking the individuals for winning last night.
Thank y'all. First and foremost, just want to thank God, my family, my friends, everybody that's been in my corner. You don't do this for the awards, but it's always humbling to be honored. My goal has always been to change the world, whether in sports, whether in racial reconciliation, regardless of what I do, when I speak, it's with one objective. to change hearts, to change minds, and to try to make our world a better place. So I'm humbled, I'm honored, I'm privileged, and this is only the beginning. So thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank you.
All right, two things here. Not many times do I like Longhorns. I like Emmanuel. I like him a lot. I especially like the stuff he does outside the sports world, so I give him credit. Number two, what you couldn't see in that audio clip is what he did at the very end, which I would love to do one day somehow. I don't know where.
What, the hook 'em?
No. Hell no. will you do the hands together like a prayer?
Oh, the praying hands, yes.
And you kind of bow to people like, thank you for your grace. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you for no, giving me this award. Like, I want to do the bowing prayer, no, nod. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, it's like you just do the simple, like, just
RJ's, you know, looking at me, you know, like the,
like, not, thank you.
You're like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. You're like bowing.
Mm-hmm. I would listen, you can't say that to Chop, though, because Chop bows to nobody.
No, that
so
is true.
You can't really say point. That to a guy. To Chop.
See, you know, how deep do you go on the bow? Do you just do a little head bow? Do you have to go way down, like, to 90 degree angle?
You're overthinking this, Chop.
I'm not overthinking
it. It's just real simple. It's just like this.
No.
It's just real simple.
No. You go just down
exactly.
Far enough where your eyes look up, and you have to put your hands right here to your mouth. Like, oh, thank you so much.
Because you don't want
to. Yeah. You got to do that.
Because you don't want to be an a-hole about it.
No.
Like, you want to just, you know, the simple, just like, you know, thank you.
See, I would curtsy. That's what I would do.
of course you would.
Of course you would.
I would curtsy. Thank you, Shirley Temple.
So there's some of your sports Emmy Award winners. We got one more for you a little bit later on in the show that'll make you laugh a little bit. But there you go. Congratulations to those winners last night at the 42nd Annual Sports Emmys. Apparently, though, Jay Williams did a little bit of hot water, which meant Kevin Durant, because he may have dived out Kevin Durant during a personal conversation when it came to comparing Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo when it comes to their games.
A couple years ago, we're at a holiday party, and I came on this show, and I did a segment with you, and I said we had Anthony Davis and we had Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, Anthony Davis and KD would have a baby. The similarities physicality-wise would be like Giannis,
yeah,
right? I go to the holiday party. Kevin Durant comes up to me and says, yo, don't you ever, ever compare me to Giannis. Don't you ever compare me to Giannis. I said, KD, what are you talking about? You know, I was just talking about similarities, physicality-wise, size, length. He's like, no, don't you ever compare me to Giannis. So when I see that matchup, you know what that matchup says to me? That's something personal for Kevin Durant. That's who he's attacking each and every day, because that's been in his brain, because people have talked about Giannis being on the same level. That's the kind of intensity you're seeing in this rivalry.
Interesting. Kevin Durant was not happy with this.
No, he was not, and responded in kind to Jay Williams, which he said, quote, don't you ever compare me to Giannis again. Don't you ever compare me to that dude. That was the original quote that he had, and Kevin Durant responded and was not thrilled about what he had to say about that.
Yeah, another thing he had said, mans will do anything to advance their careers in this media blank, wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of them whenever they please. Keep me out of all that corny talk about who's better and legacy and all that dumb ass. I don't even talk like that. And then he also wrote on Instagram, that's a blanking lie. Jay Williams can never speak for me. Well, yikes.
Tell us how you really feel, KD, about the situation.
Like, you know, is it a good comp, first of all, KD to Giannis? Do that first. Like, the, you know, when he's saying, if you were to take the mashup child of Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis, you get Giannis.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right.
Because Giannis can't shoot.
Correct. Is Giannis the second best player in the NBA, or is it KD? Or are they the best?
Or is it LeBron James?
Like, that's what I'm saying. LeBron's probably the best.
Yeah. You could throw Kawhi Leonard. You could throw...
Mm-hmm.
You can throw any number of guys before you get to Giannis.
Does KD care about his legacy like he says he doesn't?
No, I don't think he does.
You don't think he cares about his legacy?
I don't think so. I think he's gotten to the point, to me, in his life where he doesn't give a damn about any of that. Every time you hear him talk, he's like, all I want to do is just you know, go play hoops and go home. Like, y'all can have all the conversations about all that stuff.
Right. I think that's fair. Although I will say, you know, if he didn't care about his legacy, then why did he leave Oklahoma City to win titles?
Because he wanted the rings.
Okay. And I guess finally is, do players, he's like, you know, he's like, I don't talk, we don't even talk like that. Do players talk like about legacies to each other? Like, that's the other question.
That's something you can only ask players, because yeah. I wouldn't know if those players talk to each other on a daily basis about what their legacies would be. I honestly don't think they do, because they live in the moment and in the present. But I think once their careers are over with, you know, they'll have conversations every now and then about it. But in the present time, I don't think they would do that. Right. No.
So that's, look, it's you know, if you're going to talk to Jay Williams, you know, he's going to, we got to remember that a lot of these things are going to be said. Jay's got a code he's got to follow. Player code.
Well, I guess there's two things on it. Either, you know, he said it to Williams and, you know, Durant's lying about it. Or two, Williams is out here diming out personal conversations between him and Kevin Durant live on air and trying to make it sound like it's news. Because it sounded like the way that he put it, it sounded like it was something that, you know, they may have talked about, you know, in friendly conversation with one another. And if Williams didn't say, hey, you know, is that something you think I could say, you know, and put out there on television? And if he didn't necessarily get clearance from Durant to do that, then yeah, that's not necessarily the best look in right. order from, you know, from Williams in that situation.
No, it's not. So, I mean, he's going to have to, answer for this
yeah.
in some way.
Exactly.
You know, either come out with a state, you know, say something about it on TV, social media, whatever. Like, he's going to have to come out with something, because, you know, he can't let just KD just go after him like this.
No.
Like, I suspect today he'll say something on television.
I'm sure there was already a phone call between the two of them. I would have to venture. I would guess there would be a phone call already mm-hmm. between the two of them. Choppy, why is the NBA asking the Nets to take it easy on Giannis? Speaking of Giannis, by the way.
Why? Because it's crap. Because it's soft. The NBA, so the Nets have been putting this, like, stopwatch on their Jumbotron when Giannis takes free throws. Because Giannis is slow at it. And they've been putting this stopwatch up there of a 10-second violation, basically, waiting, counting down the time. And the NBA has evidently, this is from, according to Front Office Sports, they have asked the Nets to stop with that tactic while he's shooting free throws. They asked Brooklyn to take down the stopwatch, which is just about the softest thing that I've ever heard. Like, I there's a reason that you know, the narrative on the players in sports days that they're soft. It's because of crap like that. Like, is Giannis really upset about this?
I don't think so.
Like, why would the NBA ask him to stop? I assume he said something, or his coach said something.
Yeah,
something like that. But like, are you kidding me? This is boo freaking who? I hate that saying. I killed the lady and the dude in the airport. But boo-hoo, man.
Yeah, Giannis. They got to chill out on that. Because, like, it makes you think about, like, you know, the stories you heard about the old Boston Celtics in the Boston Garden, how the locker rooms are, like, hotter than hell in the locker room for the opposing teams. Like, this is what, like, it's not a big deal. Like, if you throw up the opposing person's, you know, the shot clock or whatever, it's not a big deal. Like, it shouldn't
boo-hoo.
Mess. Yes. It shouldn't mess with Giannis, like, in that way. Like, chill out.
How is this, you got to stop this, but the Knicks were allowed to do anti-bald chants against Trae Young.
Yeah,
which, like, Larry David said, that's a hate crime.
Really?
It's bald people. That's what he said. It's an episode. So, like, how are they allowed to get away with that? But you can't put a stopwatch up to mock Giannis, who's a slow free throw shooter.
Yeah.
How soft is this league?
Yeah, you got to chill out on that. I don't get that. By the way, folks are talking about, you know, Kevin Durant in terms of his burner accounts. Kevin Durant argues with people on Twitter because he has time to do so. Not necessarily because he cares about his legacy. Like, he's got time to sit there and just argue and talk to people. Like,
does he ever?
Because that's what he likes, to get out there and engage with people on social media and talk to them. Like, that's something that's always been part of Kevin Durant's, you know, get down.
Absolutely. I have a burner account. I don't care. We'll find it out.
We'll have to see if Choppy's got a burner account, because I feel like he does.
No. But there are fake RJ Choppy accounts. They are not me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There's fake Choppy accounts
out
there?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The largest Chevy dealer in America has been named Regional Buying Center for Pre-Owned Vehicles in Texas. 2,000 vehicles will be purchased, all makes and models. It's easy with buyers on hand writing checks. Classic Chevrolet. Find new roads. Kevin Gray alongside RJ Choppy on a hump day edition of Sean and RJ. Troy Hughes holding it down for us. At 8:20, Babe Laufenberg is going to join us on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers 105 through the fan. So looking forward to that conversation with Babe Laufenberg here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station 105.3 the fan. Mandatory minicamp opening up for 9 teams across the National Football League, including your Dallas Cowboys, as they get started with mandatory minicamp. This is interesting coming from ESPN's Todd Archer. Apparently, the Cowboys, during day one of their mandatory minicamp, at one point started pumping in crowd noise to get players used to crowd noise once again going into this upcoming season. So players experiencing crowd noise and trying to get used to that again. That's a interesting thing, obviously, with players getting used to the idea of fans getting back into the stands coming up this upcoming year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how much they got used to no fans. Like, do you have to retrain yourself? Like, I had to retrain myself to come back into work.
Well, that's a whole different
kind
of,
I'm trying to retrain myself how to get back home. So I don't have to come back here. Boy, I'm going to call Sean. Sean, we gotta put a stop.
Let me ask you, how are you feeling? It's day three. You're about halfway through day three of being back inside of the studio. Are you getting a little more comfortable? You feeling okay with being back in the saddle again?
How do I feel? I'll tell you how I feel. I have no idea how I'm going to make it to 60 years old. By coming to work. When I'm going to retire, how I'm going to keep coming into work every day. Driving in. I don't know how I'm going to do it. What a mistake it was to move out to Roanoke. 35 miles away. I thought it was great 10 years ago. Right now,
you feeling that drive every day?
After that 48-foot walk that I used to have to.
By the way, you have no sympathy from that person.
No, I don't.
In the other
Not
room
at
right
all.
There. Because man, Troy Hughes is like, look, damn it, it's about time they got back in the studio.
I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm not asking for it. I made my bed.
All 40 feet, 80 feet away
all
from you?
48 feet away. There you go.
Before you got to your. You know, your desk and studio. I do miss your green screen, though. I will say that. I do miss that because you had some really cool green screens.
You're about to get one up here, Troy.
The last year.
Yeah. We need a green screen. Hey, back to the Cowboys thing. They're piping in crowd noise. Mm-hmm. So does that mean there's no music? It's just crowd noise?
Yeah. You know, like that's the thing. The music is the same. It's noise. Like you're just dealing. You need to deal with noise.
Yeah.
And they do this at every practice. They do that everywhere. They do that, training camps, no matter where it is, what year it is, they're always doing. They're always pumping some noise in.
Okay. I'm just hoping that they are playing music at some point because as we found out in the past, Kevin, you probably weren't here at the fan at the time, but, you know, the Cowboys, they actually have a say in the playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Of what song is cranked out.
Great playlist.
Mickey Spagnuolo. Yep. In fact, he actually put together a compilation CD while covering the Cowboys for DallasCowboys.com. Did a commercial about it as well.
Your attention, please.
Want to hear all the Cowboys training camp hits on one CD? Now you can with Now. That's what I call Cowboys training camp music. Listen to the hot hits that's got Dez and Zeke Turnt. Such tracks as Designer's Timmy Turner.
Timmy Turner. He was wishing for a burner. The kid that hit my Iron.
Also, the beat from the street. I'm talking about a dollar sign app and Future's new level. It's now. That's what I call Cowboys training camp music. With California's own Red Hot Chili Peppers bringing us Suck My Kiss. And you can't dab those haters without finding a trap queen and a little Gucci man. Trap House 3.
Trap House 3, got a K with me at 3 on the day with me.
It's now. That's what I call Cowboys training camp music. It's lit.
Oh, we need to get another one of those.
Dollar sign.
Why is this the first time I'm hearing this?
Oh, it's so good.
Wait, you
it's
never
so
heard that?
Good. No, yeah, I have so not good. Heard that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's before we ship Mickey off to somewhere.
Yeah, we send him somewhere else. Yeah.
By the way, Mizzou's own Mickey Spagnuolo, that's by the way.
Great. Mickey Spagnuolo would put together these compilation CDs.
Wow.
At training camp. I've got another one.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, let's save that because I got to get over what I just heard just now. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to keep laughing?
Jeez.
Yeah. We'll play that. When are we doing Cowboys again? Sometime later.
Yeah, a little bit later.
Listen, Tolos, you're listening anyway. So you're listening all day anyway. You're another chance to win $1,000 next hour.
Hey.
Every single hour. So we'll get to more of those Mickey Spagnuolo compilation CDs. Maybe Babe Laufenberg, who joins us at 8:20. Maybe I'm talking him into doing it.
Drop that in there.
Dollar sign app.
That's going to be stuck in my head the rest of the day. Dollar sign app. Wow. Javi, why are you out on mandatory minicamp already? Like, why are you already out?
I'm out all the time, but like I saw a couple stories yesterday. One, Packers fans are freaking out that Jordan Love, his first crack of the two-minute drill, barely gets past midfield and ends with him throwing a pass over the head of, you know, Malik Taylor on 4th and 7. Or Jordan Love struggled with accuracy during teamwork today. Or Trevor Lawrence threw 2 pick-sixes in his first minicamp of his career. Like, this is why I hate minicamps. Like, I don't care how Trevor Lawrence in his first minicamp practiced. I don't care about the numbers. You know, practice is about, you know, you're trying things in practice you wouldn't necessarily do in the game. You're seeing if they work. And if they don't work in practice, you don't do them in the game. Like, that's kind of how this is. It's not a big deal. You're supposed to fail in practice. Especially now, defenses are ahead of offense at this time of year. Especially when you have a rookie quarterback who, yeah, he's supposed to be really good. But rookies struggle. Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions his first year.
Mm-hmm.
Did it impact his career? Not really. So it's like, I don't need to know if Jordan Love struggled in the two-minute offense. It should not impact the Packers' decision to keep or move on from Aaron Rodgers how he did in a mini camp in a two-minute drill.
You know what? You make a good point because failure is an option at this point.
Yes.
When all these teams are showing up. Mike McCarthy actually talked about that yesterday. When you hear this clip as a Cowboy fan, you're freaking out. You're like, oh my God, Dak's failing on his return back to the field. No. No, they're trying new stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. No, he's definitely had some moments. You know, we've seen some, you know, private workouts there probably, oh gosh, probably 3 or 4 weeks back where, you know, I definitely felt, you know, once we were able to see him move in the pocket, out of the pocket type drills, the scramble drills, you know, we're doing more of that work by design for a number of different reasons, and that only helps him. So, yeah, but I think it's, I think it's like a lot of our players and really us as coaches. I mean, there's, you know, we're going to be putting in new concepts today and tomorrow. So, you know, and they're not going to look great. And that's a normal path when you're this deep into your installs. You know, you're getting into more exotic type things and things you don't get a lot of reps on. You know, some of your secondary and auxiliary concepts. So, I mean, yeah, it's not going to look great, but he needs it. We all need it.
You are going to make, as quarterbacks are going to make throws in practice they wouldn't make in the game. They are going to try plays in practice they wouldn't necessarily try in the game. They're just trying things out. And to write stories about Trevor Lawrence getting picked off twice or Jordan Love struggling in the two-minute drill in his first minicamp practice, I mean, What are we doing here?
You know what that is? Here's a sound effect.
Oh, yeah.
Clickbait.
It's what it is.
It's clickbait. It's
all it is.
What happened to Trevor? Let me find out. And why is Tebow not in?
Yeah, and all it's going to do is it's going to stop Jacksonville from doing these things because they don't want to get their quarterback destroyed by the local media or the national media. Like, they're just going to – or they're going to restrict access, which the NFL really won't allow.
This is the do-or-die nature of the NFL business and what the NFL business has become. It's a 24/7, 365-day news cycle. And when we're talking about guys, you know, practicing in shorts and helmets and T-shirts and jerseys and whatnot, and more so, I think it's specific to the team situation. Obviously, with Jacksonville, it's different because you got a rookie quarterback coming in, and you want to know initially how he's going to be doing because of what you've already invested in him, not just from a team standpoint for the franchise and him as your franchise quarterback, but also what Urban Meyer is doing from a coaching standpoint and how he's moving about in terms of his rookies and what they're teaching them as far as minicamp is concerned. And I think folks are invested in that because of how deeply the NFL has got folks committed to their teams and players and coaches in all these markets. And for the Jordan Love situation in Green Bay, that story is going to be one that's going to dominate the headlines all offseason long because of the fact that Aaron Rodgers simply isn't at minicamp. And that's going to be your starter if Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a part of your football team in 2021. So I think it depends on the market and the situation, given what storylines get the kind of headlines and news that folks are discussing.
Of course, from the headline perspective, absolutely. But like Jordan Love failing in a 2-minute drill,
I'm not going to get too charged up about
that. I don't even need to know about it.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Like, I don't even care.
He's going to figure things out.
Like, they're literally doing stuff they wouldn't do in a game. So it's besides, like, offenses are behind defenses this time of camp a lot of times. What? Worry about it when the season starts. Don't worry about it in what is this? Is this June? This is June.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it on National Sex Day.
Because I think it's different once you get to training camp. Because if you start seeing guys, you know, not being able to, you know, progress and get better as far as training camp is concerned, when you're working against veterans and other guys, then maybe that's a little bit more that you want to get charged up about and get concerned about. But during these mandatory minicamps where you're talking about, like McCarthy just talked about, with installs and those kinds of things, mistakes are going to happen even for veteran guys, especially if you're trying out new things. So I understand the point there. I get a little concerned when it comes to things like training camp and Trevor Lawrence is out here maybe throwing, you know, a couple of interceptions in practice every single day, or Jordan Love still continues to struggle with 2-minute offense or specific plays that's going to help your football team win and that, you know, given your situation, you're going to need Jordan Love to perform if Aaron Rodgers isn't there.
You know, this is just like I never look at spring training batting averages or how the pitcher's doing, because you don't know what they're working on day to day. What if Trevor Lawrence is out there yesterday and somebody brings up with a fan text? What if they're out there literally throwing balls up in the air so receivers can figure out how to fight for footballs? Okay. Do I care about his interceptions? No. They're literally trying to throw balls in traffic. So, you know, I can't worry about whether or not he's got two pick sixes in one mini camp training session. I can't worry about that. Nor should you. I'm talking about.
Yeah, everybody
the
else.
The yous out there.
Everyone's trying new things right now. It's like when you try a new app. And by the way, my favorite app.
A dollar sign app.
I love
a dollar sign app.
Dollar sign app.
Thank you, Mickey. Got me hooked on that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.